Lord.
Pam and I have been friends for many years, and sometimes we're of similar mind. Now this morning when we were at Chiltern together, we knew we would look alike because we had our robes on. However, we didn't expect to look alike for this service when we took the robes off, but they say imitation is the highest form of flattery. Let's pray together. Lord of the morning, be with us in this morning hour, we pray. Help us to understand the scriptures before us this morning. Speak to us in our hearts, our minds. Give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, this is an opportunity for you to wave your palm crosses. But because they're only a small emblem to resemble the palm made of palms, but the palms themselves would have been absolutely huge. But we can wave these nevertheless. I want you to use your imagination, if you would, as we think about the first Palm Sunday. If you listen, you can hear the crowd off in the distance. A muffled roar, inextinguishable words, then a cheer, then a chant. And this is where we come in. We say together, Hosanna, three times. Ready? Hosanna! 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 Then we're going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If you look carefully, you can see the brightly coloured clothes of festival pilgrims gathering in Jerusalem. The Passover is not for several days yet, but the people are restless. A rumour draws them from their eating, from their sightseeing, from their napping. The Messiah has revealed himself. If you use your imagination for a moment, you can feel the press of the people as they gather along the road from Bethany to Jerusalem. Imagine, if you like, that we're at a royal wedding and everybody's cramming in to see the royal bride and groom. People are pressing in on you. That's what it would have been like. You can smell the dust, the donkeys. Have a particular smell, don't they? The other day I was driving to Wallingford, and the donkey sanctuary at the island donkey sanctuary along the road at Brightwell, the donkeys were all out and they were enjoying a lovely sunny morning and enjoying the grass. But I was fascinated by the fact there were hundreds of them and they were all facing the same way. I don't know what that was donkey speak for, but they looked lovely. There's something very lovable about a donkey, isn't there? And as we squeeze together and smell the dust, the heat, the donkeys, and maybe too many unwashed people in too close a space, you can sense the almost palpable excitement in the air. And soon you find yourself climbing a tree to break down a palm branch and then straining to see through all the other palm branches, which are huge. You may even find yourself shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now it's interesting, we have been following Luke for several weeks now, and he is the only person, Luke is the only gospel where it doesn't actually say Hosanna. All the others do, but not Luke. It says Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, but not Hosanna. If you're the kind of person who thinks about things, you may even wonder, what is all this about? Remember, we're all part of that crowd. Who is the man on the donkey that the people are treating like a king? Is he really a new king? Am I supposed to be one of his subjects? If so, what will he expect of me? The donkey king. It is the last week of Jesus' earthly life. The crucifixion is 6 days away, and Jesus is coming to Jerusalem despite the danger. because there are some things he must say and there are some things he wants to do. And perhaps the most important thing that he said publicly, he said symbolically, he rode a donkey into town. Why is this so significant? Well, so far as we know, Jesus never rode a donkey before, prior to this day. He always walked with his disciples. He never expected any privileges. And now he sends them to fetch a donkey for him to ride. Why? Entering the city on a donkey's colt was a simple way to symbolize the truth that Jesus did in fact come as king. He accepts the title, he accepts the people's praise. He remembered that when Solomon became king after David, he rode his father's favorite mule during the inaugural procession into the royal city of Jerusalem. Now a far greater son of David rides triumphantly into the city of kings in a similar fashion. A conquering king would have ridden into the city on a fearsome war horse or in a gilded chariot. But Jesus rode on the back of a donkey. Perhaps the only other time we associate donkey with Jesus is in the journey to Bethlehem before he was born. While he accepted the title of king, he refused to become the military Messiah that the people, even his disciples, wanted. Jesus had specified that the donkey was to be a young colt, not to have been ridden. This suggests the sacred aspect of his journey to Jerusalem. Only animals that had never been used as beasts of burden could be considered suitable for sacrificial purposes. The unridden animal's willingness to bear Jesus also says something about his power. Jesus is not only king, he is a divine king. This is not a political occasion, it's a sacred one. The adoring crowd. Imagine what the disciples must have been thinking as they approached the city, looking across the Kidron Valley at the shining city of Jerusalem, as they watched Jesus preparing to climb on the donkey's back. They knew that Jesus was perfectly capable of walking and not so uppity as to think that he should ride. Jesus never did anything without a purpose, so he must be saying something. Gradually it dawned on them that what Jesus was accepting was the title of king. The disciples had longed for this, but they wondered if it would ever happen. Once they realized what was on his mind, though, they did all they could to make this a truly royal occasion. They draped their cloaks over the donkey's back to make Jesus' seat more comfortable and to make the donkey look more presentable. The road was already crowded with pilgrims, and many of them knew about Jesus, so it wasn't hard for the disciples to stir up the crowd's excitement. Soon the road was jammed with pilgrims and locals alike. They joined the disciples in laying their cloaks across the path to show Jesus honor. They broke branches from the palm trees and waved them in the air and spread them on the road. The last time Israel had been independent was 100 years ago, when Judas Maccabeus had led them to victory and become king. He put the image of a palm branch on his coins and had them used in the temple feasts to celebrate the victory over Rome. When the crowd rushed to get the palms for this occasion, it was not just because they were convenient. While the cloaks and the palm branches make this a royal procession, the cheers of the people are even more significant. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna. The word Hosanna is a Latinized translation of a Hebrew phrase that means, please save, please help. And when Peter read the Psalm 118, you'll see it's there in verse 25. Please help. Please help me to succeed before, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Both of these quotations were used in the liturgy of a Jewish feast of tabernacles, when the people would commonly wave branches in the air and pray for God's help. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord was a popular greeting shared between pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for the festival. Here it is adapted to pronounce a blessing on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The open-ended story. As we study this scene, we must remember the story never ends. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people all about took notice. The Gospel of Matthew tells us the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Other crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." When we read this story, we also ask, who is this? In particular, we must ask, who is Jesus to me? The problem with palms is that once you cut the branches from the tree, they don't live for long. The problem with Palm Sunday is that the excitement of the crowd soon faded. And when Good Friday rolled around, many of the same voices who shouted Hosanna were also shouting, crucify him. Their love for the Lord was shallow and based entirely on their hope of what exciting things he could do for them. Too many pilgrims would get in behind Jesus on the road to the throne, but they would not follow him on the way to the cross. They would wave palms before the coming king, but they would not obey the suffering servant. This day in the life of Jesus was significant in many ways. Jesus knew that the end of his earthly ministry was near. It was time to do what he had come to accomplish. It was now or never. This was Jesus' opportunity to be obedient to the will of God and to accomplish the purpose set out for him. So, what of us? Will we follow the Donkey King? Will we be part of the adoring crowd? Will we seek the opportunity to be obedient to the will of God in our lives today? May it be so for his name's sake. Amen.